Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Mayor plans Saturday meeting. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven has issued an invitation to city residents to join him at Mikasa, 1301 Northwest County Road, Saturday, for a chat. From 9 a.m. until 10 a.m., Hoven said he'll be discussing current topics, projects, and opportunities in Odessa. In a news release, he said he'd like to thank residents for their patience over the last month with so many things unfolding. I am committed to serving the citizens of Odessa and look forward to continuing to move forward together, he said. Poll: large percentage of teachers consider leaving. A poll of public school teachers conducted for the Charles Butt Foundation finds that 77% have seriously considered leaving the profession. That's up 19 percentage points in 2 years. The report titled Persistent Problems and a Path Forward also shows 72% have taken concrete steps such as preparing resumes, conducting job searches, and interviewing for other positions, according to the report compiled by Langer Research Associates. The survey polled 129 public school teachers in what has been an annual survey. It started in 2020. Even excluding those nearing retirement, 6 in 10 expect to move on within 5 years, the survey shows. At the same time, the state and nation are seeing a vast teacher shortage. Tim Miller, Director of Leadership Development for the Charles Butt Foundation, said he is familiar with Ector County ISD's efforts at teacher preparation, recruiting, and using the strategic staffing and compensation model to assist those mid-career teachers to help increase their salaries as well as giving them teacher leadership opportunities. Miller said in addition to Ector County, there are a number of districts statewide receiving state funds to pilot or expand those programs. But Ector County certainly is a shining star in the state in terms of their use of all of the different tools and flexibilities that are provided to them by the state in terms of dealing with the teacher workforce issues and Region 18, he added. Miller acknowledged that although ECISD is having success in recruiting and retaining teachers, rural districts lack the funding to follow ECISD. A potential solution for the smaller and more rural districts in the state would be for some targeted funding from the state to look at how this can be done in our more rural and our smaller districts, not only for the time of the grant, but also after the grant ends, and having the school districts be able to sustain that type of work, Miller said. Partnerships between region service centers, as well as regional universities and community college, is also something that has been done and probably should be strengthened, not only for the Midland and Odessa area, but also other parts of the state that have those types of resources and potential partnerships that could be strengthened. The report shows that 77% of the teachers that were polled are considering leaving the profession, a big jump from the 58% found when the question was asked in 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. In terms of the reasons why they're considering leaving, there's probably six big things: lack of respect, appreciation, and support from the public, from parents of their children as well as elected officials, general lack of support from their school and district administrators in another area that kind of bubbled up, the stress that they're experiencing from trying to help all students with those individual learning, emotional, and behavioral needs, particularly those needs that got heightened because of the pandemic, just excessive workload and burnout. That's the fourth one, and pressures regarding standardized testing, Miller said. He said that state accountability has taken on more importance on things like school ratings and salaries. Then the last one is low pay in terms of being fairly compensated as a professional, Miller said. At the national level, there is a PDK poll that talks to people nationwide about education. We want to take similar questions that were asked at the national level and ask them here in Texas. We do that to inform our work. When things come out through the poll, we can add those to our research agenda or our policy agenda. We thought it was really important to get the teacher voice of what teachers think about what's going on in the school, and again, use that to help inform our work as well as to inform policymakers at the state level, especially during legislative sessions when they're looking to making tweaks or changes to what's currently being done for teacher compensation, teacher preparation, and things related to the teacher workforce in general, Miller said. In terms of the teacher shortage of specialization, Miller said it's hard to find instructors for secondary math, secondary science, bilingual, English as a second language, special education, and career and technical education. These shortages have been recurring for the past 10 years. Landgraf renews oath, files homesteaders' Bill of Rights. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican, Odessa, took the oath of office on Tuesday at the Texas Capitol to once again serve the Permian Basin as a member of the Texas House of Representatives. Landgraf and the other members of the Texas legislature convened at the Texas Capitol building for the 88th Texas legislative session, January 10th. Members of the Texas House and Texas Senate meet for 140-day regular session beginning the second Tuesday in January every odd-numbered year to vote on legislation and pass a balanced state budget. It's the honor of a lifetime to serve as a voice for the Permian Basin in the Texas House of Representatives, Landgraf said in a news release. The hardworking men and women who live and work in Ector, Ward, Winkler, and Loving counties deserve to have their voices heard in their state government. I'm headed back to the state capitol to continue fighting to defend and expend their rights and liberties. During the next 140 days, the Texas House of Representatives, along with the Texas Senate, will consider legislation on hundreds of issues impacting the state. Lawmakers will propose bills and prioritize how to allocate the state's record budget surplus of nearly $30 billion. In addition to passing a balanced state budget without raising taxes, Landgraf's priorities this session include defending the oil patch from unnecessary regulation, expanding individual liberty, increasing transparency at every level of government, and reducing the negative impact of Robin Hood and STAR testing on public school students and families in West Texas. As part of his effort to expand freedom and liberty, Landgraf has filed House Bill 92 and House Joint Resolution 9, dubbed the Texas Homesteaders Bill of Rights. The Texas Homesteaders Bill of Rights is ultimately all about fulfilling the basic governmental role protecting life and property, Landgraf said of the legislative proposal. Texans should not be restricted during times of emergency or otherwise in their ability to fend for themselves or provide for their families. My aim is to make this a constitutional right here in Texas and to provide laws necessary to protect what I view as the basic human right of self-sufficiency. H.J. R. 9 would amend the Texas Constitution to establish that Texans have the right to conduct activities on their homestead property necessary to secure access to food, water, electric power, and shelter. HB 92 prohibits municipalities, counties, and property owners' associations from enforcing ordinances that prohibit certain activities on residents' homestead properties, such as growing fruits or vegetables, or installing a rainwater harvesting system or a standby electric generator. There are many lessons to be learned from the pandemic and 2021 winter storm, like how access to the most basic human needs, like food and water, cannot be guaranteed during times of widespread crisis. This lesson was learned by many Texas families who are now seeking ways to be more self-sufficient so that they are better prepared if and when another major crisis occurs. I took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. This duty is the ultimate role of any elected official, and an oath I will diligently uphold as I continue fighting to ensure West Texas voices are heard in the chambers and halls of their state capital, Landgraf said. Landgraf pushes rule to prevent politician walkouts. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican, Odessa, announced on Wednesday a joint-authored House Resolution 4 to amend the House rules to hold responsible elected officials in the Texas House of Representatives who walk out on the job to stall legislative proceedings. The Texas House of Representatives is a deliberative legislative body that operates under strict deadlines in order to preserve taxpayer dollars and prevent over-regulation, Landgraf stated in the press release. During the summer of 2021, a few members of the Texas House held the entire state hostage, wasting state resources and violating their constitutional responsibilities in order to prevent the legislature from conducting its business for the people of Texas. The Texas Constitution requires at least two-thirds of members be present in order for the Texas House and Senate to conduct business during a legislative session. In 2021, Texas House Democrats broke quorum twice to prevent the legislature from being able to vote on pending election integrity legislation. During the second quorum break of 2021, Democrats remained out of the state for nearly a month while the legislature was in special session. I voted to arrest the quorum-busting members in 2021 because that was the only real solution offered by the House rules to compel absent members to return, Landgraf stated in the press release. These changes made by H.R. 4 give us some real teeth for the next time a group of members attempts to achieve a legislative outcome by breaking quorum rather than having open public debates on pressing policy matters. As required by the Constitution and expected by the people of this great state. In 2021, Landgraf and 79 other members of the Texas House voted to authorize the civil arrest of the members of the House who abandoned their post, but the absent members were out of state, outside of the jurisdiction of Texas law enforcement agencies. House Resolution 4 amends the Texas House rules to allow for members who are absent without leave for the purpose of impeding the action of the House of Representatives, censored, expelled, and fined $500 per day that the member is absent. Landgraf and the other members of the Texas legislature convened at the Texas Capitol building for the 88th Texas legislative session on Tuesday. Members of the Texas House and Texas Senate meet for a 140-day regular session beginning the second Tuesday in January every odd-numbered year to vote on legislation and pass a balanced state budget. January sales tax rebate up. The city of Odessa received its January sales tax check in the amount of $5,804,469.61. This amount includes the economic development sales tax of 1/4 cent. The city of Odessa will receive $4,643,575.69, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $1,160,893.92. The city saw an increase in sales tax revenues from January's sales tax revenue total of $4,643,575.69, which reflects a $989,327.09 or a 27% increase as compared to January 2022. The year-to-date total sales tax revenue for fiscal year 2022-23 is up 33.82% or $4,651,277.87 as compared to budget amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. In addition, the 2022-23 year-to-date amount is above the previous fiscal year-to-date amount of $3,246,000. $1,727.49, or 21.42%. The city has budgeted $44 million in net sales tax revenue for this current fiscal year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection, i.e., January's collection is based on November sales. Medical Center Hospital reports it will receive $4,077,620 this month in sales tax, which is an increase of about 29% for the same time period last year. Odessa woman accused of assault. A 66-year-old Odessa woman was arrested on second-degree felony Monday after her granddaughter accused her of assaulting her with a chair. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a disturbance call from the 800 block of North Avenue I Monday. When deputies arrived, a 24-year-old woman told them she'd gotten into an argument with her grandmother, Alicia Sanchez, and when she tried to leave, Sanchez blocked her way. The woman said she grabbed a metal chair and broke out a window so she could leave. According to the report, she said, Sanchez took the chair away from her and broke a TV with it. And when she tried to take the chair away from her grandmother hit her in the face with it. Deputies noticed the woman's face was swelling and she had a mark on it, consistent with being hit by a chair. Sanchez was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, which is punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Sanchez remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday on a $25,000 surety bond. Pfluger named to House Energy and Commerce Committee. On Wednesday, Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, issued a press release to announce that he had been selected to join the House Energy and Commerce Committee for the 118th Congress. The committee, first created in 1795, is the oldest in the U.S. House of Representatives and has broad jurisdiction over energy, health care, environment, technology, data privacy and security, broadband, and much more. Congressman Pfluger is the first West Texan to serve on the Energy and Commerce Committee in nearly half a century and the first member to represent Midland and Odessa on the committee. Energy and Commerce Chair Kathy McMorris Rogers released the following statement from Pfluger's election to the committee. I am excited and proud to welcome Representative Pfluger to the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We will be at the forefront of House Republicans' effort to restore public trust in representative government. Americans have elected us to hold the line against Biden's agenda. They want a different path, one that promotes free market, innovation, free speech, and individual freedom. We stand ready to plow the hard ground necessary to legislate, hold the Biden administration accountable, and restore American leadership. Pfluger released a video announcing his committee assignment. Watch the video at tinyurl.com/JETVW6BW. The transcript said, Texas 11, this is Congressman August Pfluger. I'm coming to you with some great news as I just learned that I have been chosen for the powerful Energy and Commerce Committee. Since day one, I have been fighting for energy security and American energy dominance, representing the hardworking men and women in the Permian Basin, the most prolific oil and gas-producing region in the world, is an incredible honor. Being appointed to the Energy and Commerce Committee means that Midland and Odessa have a voice and an advocate on the very committee tasked with securing our nation's energy supply. In addition to the critical energy responsibilities, this committee will be part of the solution for nearly every major issue currently facing our nation. This includes holding big tech accountable and ensuring our rural communities have the quality health care they deserve. I am committed to leveraging my position on the committee to lower costs for American families, fight for free speech, and preserve the free market under the leadership of Chair Kathy McMorris Rogers. Thank you all. Let's get to work. PSP announces 20th member. The Permian Strategic Partnership announced on Tuesday that Helmerich and Payne a leading drilling and solution provider, will join the organization in 2023 as its 20th member. With this addition, H&P joins top-tier companies committed to responsibly developing resources in the Permian Basin while providing residents quality of life in West Texas and southeastern New Mexico. John Lindsay and the team at H&P bring extraordinary talent and passion for the Permian Basin to our organization, Tracy Bentley, President and CEO of the PSP, said in a news release. They are joining the PSP at a time when we have seen transformational initiatives after 4 years of dedicated service to our community, and we still have so much to work on together. We look forward to continuing our momentum in 2023 and making lasting impacts across the Permian Basin. Since its founding in 2019, the PSP has achieved incredible results in its mission to improve the lives of the citizens of the Permian Basin. This groundbreaking coalition has committed $125 million in member company contributions to leverage an impressive $975 million in collective investments, which have had transformational impacts on education, health care, road safety, workforce development, and housing in the region. The Permian Strategic Partnership, PSP, is a coalition of 20 leading Permian Basin energy companies who join together to work in partnership with leaders across the region's communities to address current and future challenges to the responsible development of the vast oil and natural gas resources of the Permian Basin in the states of New Mexico and Texas. PSP member companies are Apache, PVX Energy, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Coterra Energy, Devon, Diamondback, Endeavor, EOG Resources, ExxonMobil, Halliburton, HNP, Kinetec, Occidental, Ovintiv, Permian Resources, Pioneer Natural Resources, Plains All American, Schlumberger, and Waterbridge Resources. For more information, visit PermianPartnership.org. Risks of taking hormone replacement therapy. Dear Dr. Roach, one has to wonder which is worse for longevity. Living a life without sleep, the ticking time bomb of hormone replacement therapy, HRT, or prescription sleep meds. I am a 71-year-old woman who began having insomnia and sleep issues when I went through menopause in my mid-40s. Sleep has been a difficult struggle for over 30 years. I've been through sleep studies, worked with psychologists, listened to sleep tapes, and done meditation, as well as taken all sorts of prescriptions for sleep and depression, which I don't have, melatonin and even THC derivatives. The list goes on and on. There is no TV in my bedroom. The mattress is good and it's quiet. I eat healthy and exercise regularly, but I'm about 20 pounds overweight. I've always felt that hormones, lack thereof, were at the root of my problem, but my primary doctor would not prescribe them due to cancer risk and doesn't want me to take HRT, but I finally went to a neuropath and was prescribed compounded morning estradiol, 0.5 milligrams, and evening progesterone, 200 milligrams. They absolutely help my sleep. I do not notice any other differences within the female-specific body type. I have gone on and off HRT, and whenever I'm off, sleep difficulties occur again. They disappear if I go back on HRT. KC. Answer. The fact that your sleep disturbances reliably get better with treatment and worse when treatment is stopped is pretty strong evidence that the sleep disturbance is hormone-related, although I would still recommend women be considered for other sleep disturbance causes, such as restless legs and sleep apnea, which both may occur around menopause. It sounds like you've done that. Treatment of menopausal symptoms with hormones is entirely reasonable, and I feel that primary care doctors are so concerned about the potential harm of the treatment that they do not consider the whole woman.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, January 12th. wife's baseball infatuation puts the squeeze on marriage. Dear Abby, my wife and I have been together 25 years and had an ideal marriage. She has recently become a dedicated baseball fan, or should I say, obsessed. She has season tickets and attends wearing her team outfit. She got a team license plate and scours the daily sports page for team news first thing every morning. She talks baseball with anyone, anytime, including me, incessantly, despite my lukewarm interest. At home on game day, she has multiple TVs on, as well as her laptop and phone dialed to the game, lest she miss 1 second of play. She can talk about every player on a first-name basis and their family in minute detail. When her team misses a play or loses, she gets irate and loudly curses at the TV. I worry she takes it too seriously. She's now bringing her portable TV into bed for late games. Needless to say, thinking about baseball in the bedroom has thrown a curve to our marital bliss. When I bring up the interference, she argues that most husbands would be thrilled to be married to a gamer babe. Can you referee this disputed call? Signed, Striking Out in San Francisco. Dear Striking Out, tell your sports-obsessed wife that while most husbands would be thrilled to be married to a gamer babe, she isn't married to one of them. Tell her you love her, but you are oversaturated with statistics and need her to dial it back. Explain that the portable TV in the bedroom is interfering with your sex life, and if she values your marital relationship, she will respect that. Don't wait. Take your stand now before baseball season starts again. P.S. In self-defense, arm yourself with new interests of your own, because I have a feeling you're going to need them. Dear Abby, I have a lovely life, a wonderful husband, and 5 caring children entering adulthood. I have a successful career I am well compensated for. The problem I face is that at 47, my health is such that I live every day in debilitating pain. I spend my energy getting through my day and evenings and weekends in pain and recovering from my work week. My husband is understanding, but friends and family don't understand. I don't know how much longer I continue this, but I don't know how to give up a well-paying career without which my family's quality of life would considerably change. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Signed, Trying to Rest in Midwest. Dear Trying, whether your friends and family understand the challenges you were dealing with is beside the point. I will assume that you have talked at length about this with your husband. Your next step should be to talk with your physician about a referral to a pain management specialist. If you are unable to find relief there, you may have to take the financial hit. Although it may mean your family will have to make do with less, your quality of life is important too.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.